Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA. Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
All you should take off the shelf right now is dig into your pantry and get some seasonings out that you haven't seen yet. This is the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. And we're talking about Michigan Fresh this week. And now's the time when these type of things come in, all the vegetables and things that are going to be here in the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, now's the time that I empty out the freezer. Right, and I get that old stuff off the shelf and try to use it up because I'm going to want some new stuff in there for the balance of the winter. And if there's any leftovers, now would be a great time to do it. And
my freezer's pretty empty.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, it thawed.
Yeah, mine did too, but I had pretty much only meat in there on that one. All the vegetables were in another freezer that didn't go. So, but anyway, the frozen corn and beans and things of that nature. You during the break, you got a call. From your local farm market.
From Heidi's Market, yes. Yep. They're on I-96, exit 52, fantastic farm market. And she told me I have 2 bushels of pickles ready, so 2 half bushels.
Okay.
So this weekend while I'm batching it, I'm going to be slicing up little baby dills and making my mother's bread and butter pickle recipe.
So those are discs?
Because I could find nobody to help me.
Right, yeah. So those are discs. You're not doing the whole pickle, right?
Right?
You're just slicing them off in discs.
Yeah.
So what's in a bread and butter pickle?
Gosh, you know, that gives me a thought. I wonder why bread and butter pickles are never just the whole little pickle.
Would that be a gherkin then if it was a whole one?
Well,
because sometimes I see those in the store and they're a sweeter pickle, aren't they? Aren't they sweeter?
I don't know.
I don't know.
But
I don't know.
I love bread and butter pickles, and they're the best thing to eat with pasties other than pickled beets.
Oh, I don't know. Ketchup's good.
Yeah. Says you. Oh, you're converted now?
Yeah.
You're off the gravy?
I was just offered that up, man. I just wondered if you were listening.
Well, you have ketchup also, but
right. You
have to have an aside.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have a side.
Sure, with your pasty. So what is a bread and butter pickle? Just a sweet pickle? Are there anything else in the jar besides the cucumber?
Well, it's got like turmeric, mustard seed, celery seed, cloves.
So those are some pretty strong seasonings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it gets this cool yellow kind of...
The turmeric would do that, right?
Yep. And, oh my gosh, if you do it right, they're fantastic.
Right. But it's a sweet pickle. It's not a dill
pickle.
It's
salty sweet.
Okay.
So, yeah, it is a sweeter.
Well, it is a brine you're putting in.
It is a sweeter, but it's not as sweet. I don't like sweet pickles.
Okay.
Never did. I don't mind the relish on, like, tuna salad.
Right.
But I have no use for sweet pickles. Now, a good dill pickle, great. And I suppose I should be thinking about this and maybe doing 0.5 bushel in bread and butter and then 0.5 bushel whole. It'd be easier. And just do a dill pickle.
Right. Well, during the break, we were talking a little bit about peppers and how we can't overlook those at this time of year is that not just bell pepper, but you are a connoisseur of spicy peppers much more than I am.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right. So you could change a flavor profile in one of those with
a
little meat in there.
I always put a jalapeno in every bread and butter jar.
Okay.
I do.
All right. Yep. So you just keep talking. You figure out more things that are in his recipes.
And sometimes I'll put a little red pepper in there.
Right. Like,
just for color.
Oh, like bell pepper? Or,
yeah. Just a few slices of red. Just it dolls it up. I also put Spanish onion in there.
Okay.
Because it just adds to the beauty. I do that with my asparagus, too. And I find that the onions, when you're done, are just an awesome thing because pickled onions, like, are used on so many Mexican recipes. You'll very often pickle an onion, like, on the spot, like a five-hour brine pickled
right.
onion.
Yes.
For Spanish recipes, Mexican recipes. And
right.
these coming out of the jar are just fantastic for that. If you're making a sandwich.
Still crunchy a little bit. They don't lose their crunch.
Yeah, and, no. Yeah. And it's not even about the texture of those as much as what it does to your sandwich. Especially if you've eaten all the bread and butter pickles, you still have pickles for your sandwich.
This sounds like a personal issue to
me.
Well,
it's called tradition.
Running out of bread and butter pickles.
Tradition,
is what
yeah.
it's called. Well, but you got a half a bushel. That ought to carry you for a few weeks.
Yeah, so I'll have to decide sometime this afternoon which way I'm running with that. But back to the actual show plan.
Why?
Ways to grill corn on the cob.
I'll come out of the box with one super simple, just because I think that 9 out of 10 people that are listening like bacon. And get yourself some of the thin bacon, not thick. Just simply wrap it around there. And it's husked corn, right? Cleaned off husked corn. Put the bacon around there. And then, as we always do, where the bacon ends are, you start down with that because that'll seal it, right? And then once it's
a little spot weld.
Right, yeah. And then once it's been on that side for 3 or 4 minutes, you just roll it a quarter at a time, all right, till you get around all four sides. The corn will be well cooked. You just want to cook it till the bacon is done. But then it'll wrap around there and it'll shrink down. And don't cook it so long that it crumbles, because you still want to be able to bite the corn and get the bacon and have the rest of it stay on there.
Does it stay on there while you're eating?
Not perfectly, but for the first few bites.
You don't need to put any butter on it.
That's right. You're putting bacon fat on it, man. I'm telling you. Maybe that's why my doc said my cholesterol is a little out of whack. Oh. I don't know. But, hey, I'm all good with that. If I got to go, I'm going to go eating bacon, baby. But that's a super simple one. That shouldn't take more than like 10, 12 minutes.
So if you're not wanting to husk them, I mean, I'm a firm believer, and Heidi's is a great place, again, for fresh corn. They grow their own bread. They call it cookies and cream or
right,
peaches
yep,
and
yep.
cream, something like that.
It's a white and yellow.
And it's my mouth's watering thinking about it. They grow the best corn for corn on the cob you can find anywhere. I'd match it to any corn you can get. That I'll just take those whole ears, and I'll throw them right on the grill, and I'll, again, roll them when they start to get brown. And when all the sides are brown, there's no sides, it's round. But when most of it's brown, it's done. Pull it off and just put it on a big platter or put it in a cooler. Keep it warm.
Right.
And matter of fact, that's a great idea if you're limited on your grill space. Just grill the corn in advance and throw it in a cooler because it's pretty durable. It's pretty hardy. It can't hurt anything.
Yep.
But just know that when you take it out, there's going to be a lot of that husk wants to kind of get brown and burn up, and it makes a mess.
Okay. And I'm going to go right down that same cooler thing with cooler corn. Super simple one. Leave the corn husked on. Put the corn in the cooler first. Get a big couple-gallon pot of boiling water. Dump it on top. Close the lid. Whenever you're ready to eat it, from 15 minutes to an hour and a half, that stuff will be done because that boiling water is going to heat the corn through and cook it. But yet it'll stay in there and it stays really moist.
But that's not grilled corn.
Well, it's not grilled corn. It's boiled corn, right? But it's in a cooler. It's
okay.
Cooler corn.
Okay. There's also lots of ways. If you are taking it out of the husk, you can put some oil on it and some different spices. Do you have any spices, combinations that you'd put on corn
well,
when
you
do
know,
it?
There's a really simple one that if you like wing sauce, right? Just take, I would do 2 sticks of butter and about a half a jar of wing sauce. Melt the butter. Whip the wing sauce in it.
Just brush it on.
And then brush it on there, man. And you're going to get a little tang on your corn, but it offers up just a great little flavor option because, you know, corn is really, really good on its own. But after you have it about 3 nights in a row, it's like I want to try to do something a little bit different with it. But usually butter, salt, and pepper is just, you know, knocking it out of the park for me. But anyway, those are a couple other options. I got lots of them here if you want to talk about them.
Let's hit some Michigan Fresh in the next segment, maybe some tomatoes.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to do that little Michigan Fresh, a little bit of tomato, and maybe even a roasted ripe one. Stick with us. We'll be back. We want more. We want more.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Hi, this is Sal Cipriano, CEO of Better Made Snack Foods. Ever wonder why our Better Made potato chips taste so good? They're made with homegrown potatoes from West Michigan farms. So when you're driving to the beach, a festival, or a ballpark, and you pass by those farms, think of Better Made potato chips. Better yet, stop by your favorite grocer or convenience store and pick up a bag for the trip. For nearly 90 years, Better Made Snack Foods are Better Made.
Hey, this is Jop from the Grilling Guys. Build or redecorate with composite decking by TimberTech. Now through July 31st, you can save an extra 5% when you purchase both your composite decking and premium deck railing from Standard Lumber. TimberTech decking starts at $1.75 per lineal foot and is available in many styles and finishes. Visit your local Standard Lumber location for details and enjoy the outdoors on your new redecorated deck. Check them out at standardlumber.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's going to be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're going to eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're going to listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen studios. Our friends at Standard Kitchens just got done remodeling all seven of their kitchen stores. You got to get in and check one of those out if you're in West Michigan. A lot of really cool stuff and up to date and ready to rock. But Barbecue Bob, we've been talking about Michigan Fresh and the vegetables that are coming out of all the gardens and the roadside stands
right now.
And we hit the corn pretty hard on the last segment. So what's our next vegetable on the table?
Well, I just want to mention we're going to get into some meats in the fourth segment. So
can't have a show on vegetables.
No,
man. Not the whole dang thing.
But they are often overlooked.
Sure.
Like just like the peppers are overlooked. We can do tomatoes, but something as simple as just a green pepper cut into quarters or in halves and put some sort of a little stuffing inside it. I don't care what you put it. If you want to put Spanish rice in it, if you want to put taco meat with some cheese on top, if you whatever you want to put in, green peppers are really good for you, and they're just fantastic on the grill. All peppers change flavor on the grill, just like tomatoes do.
Right.
Most vegetables do. Their characteristics change. But
especially like a hot pepper. I mean, if you're not off a green pepper, they get more mild. That's exactly right, when you roast them. Right?
Yeah, we very often go for Mexican when we're out for lunch during the week. If we happen to rendezvous for just a little quick lunch and grab a chat, show plan kind of prep, we'll very often hit Mexican. And, and I always ask them for those grilled peppers.
Right.
And
the jalapenos, they're tolerable for me. I mean, they're probably a little mild for you, but that makes them tolerable for me.
Well, I love them. The flavor's awesome. You could do it with habanero too.
Yeah, you could. Yeah.
So you've got a lot of ways to go with peppers there, and that's just a great thing to grill. If you don't have a grill basket, there's another reason to get one. Cut them up, toss them in the oil and spices, throw them on that basket, and just start just shuffling it like a like a pan of Jiffy Pop.
Right.
And, man, people go nuts when you bring that in and put it on the table.
Right.
And with the right baskets, you can take the handle off it and just leave that basket on the table.
Yeah. The other thing with these peppers is that they make – this time of year, I love shish kebabs. I just think it screams summer. We do them a lot in the fall with tailgates because it's food with a handle. That's a whole nother show. But this time of year with seafood or chicken or beef or pork, any of that.
Got to have green peppers.
It's got to have green peppers on there. One, it's colorful. And you got the orange ones, the yellow ones, the red ones. You can use all those too. But it's
green
flavorful.
Green ones are a different flavor.
Yeah, they are. And just a really, really versatile vegetable. And, boy, you throw out some – and here's the cool thing about kebabs. Make them the night before. You're fine, man. If you're going someplace, just keep them cold. But make them the night before, and you just pull them out and throw them on the grill. Because it's a little tedious making the thing. A lot of cut-up pieces and the skewer and stuff and whatever. But I want to touch on my marinated mushrooms on those. There's a – and I try to give cred where cred's due. There's a company out there called Polar, just like cold, P-O-L-A-R. I can't find them in stores, but I order them online. And they sell a marinated mushroom, and it is by far the best marinated mushroom I've ever had. And I would encourage you to look for those because they're big. There's about the size of a golf ball when they come in the jar, but the marinade they have on those things is it's a pickling.
And it's called Polar?
Polar, but it's just Polar marinated mushrooms. Hmm. And they come in a quart jar, right? So it's a good sized jar of them. But, man, are those things good. I order them six at a time. And they're so good, I can eat them like right out of the jar, like candy. But anyway, great, great addition to any skewer that you want out
and
there.
And I wonder how they marinate a mushroom because they just float in whatever you put them in. They're really hard to marinate. You'd almost like to pressurize them or something.
Well, I don't know. They're just in a jar, man. But they're good. But
I suppose if they're canning them, there's a brine in there and
it is. Sort of it's pickled, and there's onion in it and peppers and other spice. You know, when you get done with all the mushrooms out, there's a half inch of garlic and everything
pepper,
down in the bottom. Yeah.
Sure. Well, those are also great for Bloody Marys and martinis.
Well, yes, sir. I would agree with that. I would
so let's get on to the actual show plan. Smoked fresh tomato.
Why start now?
So get yourself a nice, big, fat, round, beautiful, locally grown tomato.
Need some more adjectives on that tomato, Bob.
Yeah, I'm so in love with tomatoes. And wash it up nice and cut it in half side to side so that you have the stem on the bottom on one side and then the pointy end on the other side. And set them on your grill. And that'd be a great invention is to make a little wire rack to hold these because they do want to tip over. You got to find the right spot in your grill. But then pile some smoked cheese on them. I'm sorry, some blue cheese on them. And then just smoke that tomato for about 20 minutes at about 250. If you like blue cheese, you could use goat cheese or something if you don't like blue cheese.
Yep.
But the way I do it's with blue cheese. And I just basically bake that tomato with blue cheese on it. And that blue cheese, the top of it gets a little bit smoky colored. And then when you pull it off, just put some balsamic reduction on it and let it drip over the plate so you make a nice little design with it. And bring that out as an appetizer for your guests.
Listen to you being all plating food now. That's not your style.
Yes. No, right. It's a wonderful presentation.
Right.
And people think you really know your stuff.
Right. And that
even if you don't.
Balsamic reduction sounds swanky. It's not. Go to any store, and our friend from the Food Network, Rachel Ray, she makes a balsamic reduction.
$5.99.
Right. That's the super simple way. The right way to do it is to go to Old World Olive Company and buy balsamic and reduce it yourself because they've got a number of flavors of balsamic that you can't get in the store if you buy
them. I have a hard time reducing those fantastic balsamics. I'd rather buy the cheap stuff.
Right.
I don't know. There's something about putting that really good balsamic into a pan and boiling it down that just cries, don't do it.
Just concentrates the flavors is all it does. Makes it really good, even better.
Sweetens it up a little bit.
Right.
So roasted ripe tomatoes, what I do sometimes is, especially if we're doing big events and I'm going to fire up that big ship's hull smoker, I'm going to hold on a minute.
You're gonna taste another one of these power beers.
This shower beer.
Yeah.
Shower bee.
Right.
That's pretty good. Thanks, Sicilianos. Anyway, I'll cut a deal with a local vegetable guy, And when those tomatoes are getting so ripe, nobody will buy them. They'll chuck them.
Right.
I'll buy up a big bag of them for a buck. And I'll buy as many bags as I can if I know I'm firing up my smoker. And I will just throw those on the racks whole, and I'll smoke them for about 40 minutes.
Right.
You've got a roasted tomato now with a little smoky flavor.
Right. And, those overripe ones, they're not rotten. That's not the ones you're picking up, but they're a little overripe.
And they're going to be overripe the second you throw them on the grill anyway.
That's right.
They shrink up and look nasty anyway. So,
right.
So just take advantage. Now, first of all, flavor-wise, the flavor is concentrated. The more it ripens, the just more and more flavor you get to it. Then when you roast it, it just enhances all that. And if you want to, you can put a little slice in it so it bleeds out a little bit.
Right.
Or you can leave it whole so that you can freeze them all in a slurry, because they're fantastic for pasta sauce, salsa.
Maybe that's one of our secret ingredients in
chili.
Chili?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks. Not a secret anymore. But they work wonderful, and that's how we always used to make our chili, is with all those old vegetables.
Right. Yeah, old guy chili, right? But but I tell you what, the flavors are concentrated and it's good. I mean, it's just really good.
So how about fresh mushrooms on the grill?
You know what? I like the marinated ones. We already beat that one to death. But fresh ones are okay. I like big portabellas. And, you know, a portabella is the one that's about the size of a softball or sometimes even
bigger.
And those
are okay. You can get those anytime. But let's do morels.
Well, morels are only spring for 2 weeks and they're gone. I don't have any.
You don't have any?
No.
You don't even know what to do with them, do you?
What do you mean? Well, you can freeze dry them, but they're better fresh, you know, but I don't have any this time of year.
He's sensitive about the morels.
But I'm not sensitive. I just don't have any. That's a 2 week cook, man.
I think you're holding out.
No, not doing that. But
I just wondered if you'd ever done morels.
Well, hell yeah.
How'd you do them?
All the time.
Tell these people.
It's easy.
They tuned in to listen to you for
what I
out
prefer
loud.
Them is fried in butter in a pan with a little bit of flour on
them. Oh, my gosh.
But you want it? See?
That's your cheating.
Well, I'm not cheating. I'm telling you how I like them. You asked, right? Jeez. Man, you pry it out of me, I tell you, and then you're like,
that's
well,
not the way to do it.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, we're going to have Bob teach you how to cook a morel. Stick with us. We'll be back.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com, Garrett'sAppliances.com.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
We live it, we love it, Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game, we stand behind our name. We live it, we love it, Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
Never before have I turned on you. Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're brought to you live from Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. And Barbecue Bob, how do you cook a morel, man? I have no idea. I pan fry them, and I guess that's a sacrilege. So
I've never even eaten one.
Right, right.
So let's talk about whole hogs. Hey, if you're...
I'm not sure I'm letting you off that easy. Come on.
No, I've never eaten a morel.
Oh, why?
I've never been offered one.
Oh, man.
People keep going on my property and picking them, but I just don't bother. Until recently, I wasn't much of a Mustang. I wasn't much of a mushroom guy.
They're a little chewy, especially the tires.
Mushrooms I used to eat made me walk around the woods naked, so I quit eating them. But
it took a while.
Smoking a whole hog. Hey, listen, if you're hitting us on the web, go to thegrillingguys.com, and you can find lots of recipes. Half of them are okay. And
I put on there.
You can, if you want to podcast the show, just send me a check for $10. I'll give you my address. No, it's absolutely free. There's a little headset up in the top right corner of the opening page, and click on it. It'll send it right to your device. Absolutely free. There's also a search bar above that. You just put in any keyword you want, like whole hog or Joppy's famous mushroom recipe, something like that, maybe. And nothing will pop up.
Right. Yeah. The mushrooms are pretty flat. Yeah. So whole hog, Bob. Let's get out of the vegetables and get back onto the farm.
Yeah, Michigan raises a lot of hogs, dude.
Yep, they do. And our friends in the South raise a lot of them, too. So anywhere you're listening.
Oh, you mean Allegan?
Yeah. Whole hog is not something that I prefer to do. There's a lot of people that really enjoy a big old hog roast, and I'm not dissing those people, but to me, it's a lot about nothing, because you get that whole thing roasted up, and it takes you a while to do it. Not any quicker than doing the shoulders, which is where we're going to go with this, but the whole hog is just a lot of work.
It's really all about the presentation.
Yeah.
You want to show off a great big old hog roasted and put it on a platter and do a picking or something like that. That's what they want, is they want to say, I cooked this big piece of meat.
Right.
And then they get their Viking swords out and hack it to pieces.
Right. But ultimately, there's a few guys that are pulling it, and there's a whole bunch of people that are eating it.
Yeah.
Right? So, and if you're one of those pullers, you got some work ahead of you.
Well, it can be fun. And how I like the way they do it in the Carolinas, and they're going to literally – they're going to cook it on – everything down south is pit barbecue. There's no such thing as an offset smoker. It's always pit barbecue.
Which means that the meat is directly over top of the heat source.
Or very close to it, and it's a giant pit filled with coals. They burn their wood. They just keep shoveling coals in, and they have the hog on a grate. And you can make one of those with just cinder blocks.
Right. A pit. Yeah. Yep.
So they'll lay that hog down belly side down, you know, it'll be all lathered up with spices and herbs and, you know, some rosemary in its armpit and stuff
right.
like that.
It's all splayed out. I mean, it's laying flat. The legs are out to each side.
Right.
And you're cooking it from the rib cage inside
right.
first.
Right.
Right.
So all that fat's reducing down through it. Now, the key is to have it on a wire rack and then clamp another one over it and flip that baby for the last hour or so and put some coals right under it. And get that skin nice and crispy, and that's called cracklin.
Right.
Now, if I'm
the skin is called cracklins. Yeah.
And if I'm going to do a whole hog, I'm going to want some cracklins with it because that's got all the smoke for one thing, and it's you've burnt all the fat off it, so you get like a pork rind basically with a little bit of fat and meat on it, and it's you chop that up with your pork.
Right.
And it's pretty darn good.
Yes.
Pretty darn good. Because you put a bunch of sea salt on it. Now, actually, if you're gonna do a hog like this, I would highly recommend oiling the whole thing over really well. And I would take a nice, long, sharp knife, and on 45-degree angles, I would score that whole hog in a diamond pattern.
You're talking about the skin
about
side.
5 to 8 inch diamond pattern, yeah. And score that whole thing. So that it'll actually expand and the fat will run out faster.
Mm-hmm.
You'll help it reduce.
Right.
A lot of guys, you never see anybody doing that, but you'd be smart to do so. Because then when you flip it over and you want to get your cracklins, you get a couple things working for you. Number one, that fat's going to run out faster. Number two, there's channels for that fat to run out. So, and then when you're trying to get your cracklin out, you've got all these beautiful little 5-inch squares, diamond pattern squares that are already broke up for you. You don't have to spend all that time on the board
with a cleaver
whacking that thing up. Yeah, with your Damascus steel cleaver.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. But you know, so you're right. The whole hog is about the presentation. If you're just looking to feed a bunch of people, just go to the Boston butt, the pork shoulders, whatever you want to call them, but it's the front shoulders of the hog that are pork butts is right. What everybody hears, you hear them called. And, you know, I prefer just to do that. I don't have the bones to mess with. I don't have the skin. Now, I don't get any cracklings, guaranteed I don't. But at the end of the day, if people are just looking to eat pulled pork and you're feeding the masses, it's not nearly as messy. I don't have to pick bones.
But what if you want that presentation?
Well,
there's another option.
I understand, and I know where you're going. Where you're going.
So do a bunch of shoulders, and then just do a nice little suckling pig.
That's right.
And now you can do your picking presentation. You can put that little suckling pig with the apple in his mouth like he died eating an apple, and put it out on the platform, and then surround it with pulled pork and let people just devour that. When all the pulled pork's gone, they can start ripping the flesh off that little goober.
Right. And those are 20, 30-pound little suckling pigs that you roast those just like you roast a big one. It's going to cook a lot quicker.
Yeah.
But it's there for the presentation purposes. And then if you've got, you know, we usually figure a third of a pound per person live weight gives you about a quarter of a pound per person cooked weight. Right?
And if you can't get a suckling pig, you could always use a cat.
Easy. Easy. We almost lost our jobs at the grilling guys over that one. No wonder we're not making any money. We had huge lawyer bills defending us on that one. But no, it's all a joke.
So common mistakes when you're roasting a whole hog. I would say, number one, not spicing it properly. Number two, maybe not injecting it. Number three, roasting a whole hog.
Right, yeah.
Because they're just putting the thing in a smoker and just smoking it or baking it. If you're going to smoke it, okay, still score the skin, still rub it with oil, and then pour a ton of sea salt on it. Salt the ever-loving snot out of that skin when you're smoking it.
Yep. Right.
Because you're going to be belly down. So salt that skin. Don't over-smoke it, for one thing. That's not.
It needs heat, but it doesn't need all that smoke.
You need about 4 hours of smoke, and the rest of the time, you just want to roast it at like 275 and let that baby come to 200 in the shoulders.
Right. And just remember that after 140 degrees, there isn't anything that's going to take smoke anyway.
No.
So once the hog itself gets to 140 degrees, smoke is a waste of time. All it's going to do is choke you when you're looking at it, and you might be spraying it down with some moisture of some sort.
You'll get heartburn.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That does do that, is you get extra heartburn. You know what, though? A whole hog is man food, so it's time for some man law.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Today's man law. If your best friend is dumped by his girl, it is a six-month waiting period until she can be touched. Nobody can date her for 6 months. If he breaks up with her, it's 6 days. So there's a caveat there. And this only applies to single people, okay? If, you know, if you're married, you can't date her no matter what.
Right. Good news. That's all good news. So back to the pork on the grill. Bob, the we're talking about shoulders, but there's a lot of other cuts. I was over at Sobey Meats,
really?
And they had some really nice, thick-cut pork chops. Now, you can buy them smoked from him, which a great butcher that has a smoke shop in the back like them, they'll produce a smoked pork chop in their meat case. But he also had raw ones.
Caveat, those smoked pork chops vary greatly from shop to shop.
Oh, they do. Yeah, Sobey's never had a bad one. But I was, again, firing up the smoker, had a lot of surface room in there. So I put a half a dozen of those pork chops in there because I can use them for a lot of things throughout the week or the next couple weeks because they hold really well. But love a smoked pork chop with the bone in. I know you say the bone doesn't do any flavor, but I just like that
bone-in
chop.
Well, now, in that regard, if you're smoking a whole loin with the bone in, I would say yes. Now you're going to get some benefit from it because you're going to roast that thing really slowly with that bone and all the stuff that's going to come off it. I think you get some benefit from that. I'm just saying if you're going to grill a pork chop with a bone on it, no, sideways, you're not getting anything.
Okay. Coming up next, Bob's got a little sniff of deer season. It's the first part of August. I guess he's going to get out and sharpen up his bow skills. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. Bob, we were talking about just getting ready to go out and do a little scouting for deer camp. I've been driving down the back road, see the bucks out in the full velvet. At my house, and I kind of live in a little bit more of an urban area. I'm not right in the city, yeah. but I'm in an urban area. I come home yesterday for lunch and to let the dog out, right? And so I come in the front door and I'm playing with the dog and I'm going to let her out the back door, out the slider on the deck. She has to go down the stairs and out in the backyard, right? So I'm focusing on her. I let her out. She runs down the deck stairs, takes about three bounds and comes to a screeching halt. There's a doe and twin fawns in my backyard, and that doe took a lunge and started stomping her front feet at my dog, then took another lunge toward
her.
What'd
the dog do?
The dog's freaking out. She's only 4 months old, right? This is nothing she'd ever seen.
Biggest dog I've ever
right?
seen.
But she was snorting, and those fawns ran in back into the woods, and she stood there for maybe like 15, 20 seconds making sure the dog wasn't going to change the kids. And then she just turned around and walked back into the woods. But it was cool because that was Mother Nature at its finest. She was protecting those fawns, man. And that dog was not going to come near them. She was absolutely between. And my dog's like 40 pounds. She's not that big. I mean, it's a hunting dog. But anyway, yeah.
The deer doesn't know that.
No, the deer doesn't know. But it was kind of
a
cool experience.
Her.
Right. At noon. You know, they're in my backyard at noon. And but
that's why.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But anyway, you want to shift gears here at the end of the show and talk a little bit about scouting for deer already, man.
Well, it's time because why wait until September if you're going to go out the 1st of October? You should be like getting up into some trees right now and start patterning your deer. And because every year, like for us especially, they clear cut about 60 acres of white pine across the road from us, and that's going to drastically change how they pattern into our how they funnel and how they come into our property. So the old patterns are all gone for us now.
Right.
And we timbered a bunch of the old hardwood as well. So it's going to be a good year for us in particular. But I think everybody does stuff like that from time to time. And you think you know your area, but you don't. Because
right.
the animals come and go. They die off. New ones come in. Patterns change.
Right. And Mother Nature might knock a bunch of trees down if you got a storm that blew through or something. And pathways change, where they're going, how they're moving, what they're moving in and out of, because it's all about the cover, and then food sources, right? So if a farmer changes and he puts in wheat and the wheat's all cut off, that's not a food source for them anymore. So they're going to start going somewhere else, where if there's a cornfield there or something like that, they might continue to use that throughout the rest of the year. Bean fields, same way. You know, so it all depends where the food source is and what they're after, how they pattern. But you're right, that stuff is very predictable, the food sources, because it's already there. Right. But anyway, it is time to get out. And the bugs are a little bad this time of year. So I don't know if I'm going to sit in a tree too long, but you can see paths in the grass and where they're moving and figure out that there's traffic there. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But more than anything, you got a chance long before you're out there with your bow to get up and reinforce your blinds, cut some paths,
shooting
cut
lanes,
in some shooting lanes and stuff like that. And, you know, look at the patterns and the trails and see what kind of maybe predators have been in the area. If you got a lot of coyotes or wolves, stuff like that, cougar has a big impact on what you're going to be able to shoot at if there's anything left living.
Well, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Hey, get out and create a little grill envy in your neighborhood because we are in the dog days of summer right now, and these ain't going to last forever, so get out and enjoy it. Take care and be safe, and we'll talk to you next week.
See ya!